The night messages have been concerning the local church, and morning messages, the will of God. So tonight, once again, we'll consider the local church, and by that I want to make clear that I'm talking about grace churches and the operation of the grace churches, because it's made up of people. And as I mentioned last night, if we all left this building, it would just be dark and cold and empty and lifeless. We are the life. We bring the light of the cross in it. And so grace churches are people. And I believe that we need to know how to operate our own personal lives and function in our own personal lives to have the local grace church be productive for getting the Word of God out, leading those that are lost to the saving knowledge that comes in and through Jesus Christ. So I think that it's imperative that we understand some of these things. You know, I would liken the grace church to a car. For instance, I have a paper route and I have vans that I use. And there's been times over the years that a spark plug has gone out. It's a six-cylinder, and when that spark plug goes out, you know it. I mean, you can drive it, the motor runs, but you know something's out. It backfires, it sputters and all. It'll get you from point A to point B, not as fast and not smooth, but it'll get you there. Well, a church is a lot like that, made up of people, spark plugs. And we all need to hit on all cylinders for it to run to its optimum performance. And that's what I want us to see here, is that we play a role in each grace church from wherever we're from or whatever church we go to. And that is the bottom line to my message about the local grace church. You know, I don't have any interest in hurting anybody's feelings or embarrassing anybody. But you know, sometimes you got to address some things that could be hurtful or harmful to the church and to an individual that may be in the church. For instance, you know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 6 about the ant, to consider the ant and her ways and things of that nature. Well, I want you to consider the cow. Consider the cow. For instance, when my youngest daughter was in high school, she was in the 10th grade. You know, all the kids get together and do things on Friday night. Well, one Friday night, we set the time, come in for 11 o'clock. Well, 12 o'clock, 12:15, she shows up. Where have you been? Oh, well, I went here. She told us where she had been, what she'd been doing, and I'm sorry for coming in late. Okay, but you need to get in on time. The next Friday night, 11 o'clock, she comes in late. We told you about this. Don't let it happen again. Next Friday night, 11 o'clock, you better be here. It was like a quarter to one before she got in. I'm sitting in my chair in the living room. Why consider the cow? Because I had a leather belt in my hand. She's in 10th grade. She walked into that door. And my chair is over here. You walk in here. You come around the TV here and go up the stairs to her room. She comes in. She sees me in that chair. I stand up with the belt. And you know when they doing this, they know what's coming. She's crawfishing. I said, this is it. This is the last time. And I proceeded to give her a sound correction. I didn't want to. But let me tell you, besides the anger that was in me, another emotion was in me. And that's fear for her safety and well-being. And any preacher that cares about the Word of God and the ministry he has is going to care for the spiritual well-being of his assembly. Amen. Consider the cow. This book, incidentally, is wrapped by leather. And sometimes you have to whip people with it. I mean, some people just ask for it, and you got to do it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let him who think he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you're going around boasting and bragging about your righteousness, be careful, because there's a fall a-coming. We were just talking earlier about some of the top evangelists in our country that boast and brag wonderful, mighty things about having the power of the Holy Ghost and doing wonderful things, but yet at the same time saying they don't do this, that, or the other. And before you know it, they're on the news doing this, that, or the other. They fell. So it not only can hurt the assembly, it can hurt the individual. So just like I whip my daughter, I did it for her sake. And sometimes you do that for an individual's sake in the church. And if they get up and leave and they say, you're not going to be mean to me or whatever, then so be it. So it's nothing about being mean. If I wanted to be mean, I could do that. I don't want to be mean. I want everybody to like me. I like to be liked. So I show myself friendly to have friends. Anyhow, we had read in Ephesians chapter 4, and I don't see why we shouldn't go there again. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Then he goes through the oneness that pertains to the body of Christ, to our existence. But we concentrated last night on the end of verse 2, forbearing one another in love. That has to do with enduring, and then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, in the Old Testament, there were individuals that could develop some type of ailment. For instance, a leper. If an individual was a leper, they were to be put out of the camp. A man that had a running issue out of his flesh was considered unclean. Well, folks, things have changed from that point. The spirit of everything today is we come from backgrounds that vary in our society. Some of us may not have had problems with certain sins, that others have had problems with those certain sins. But you can't get around the point that all of us have come from a sinful background. Therefore, we all needed the cross of Christ. There isn't anybody that got put in the body that got saved outside of the cross of Christ. You have to have the grace of God for you to be saved today. So if you're going to come to the point of realizing that you're a sinner and you need to trust Christ, what difference does it make of what sins you're not doing? Why get saved and then boast about sins that you're not committing? Apparently you had seen yourself at some point in time as a sinner, so you must be doing something. You see, folks, the church, the body of Christ, is something that the Spirit of God has put us all together in one body. And unlike the law, where certain situations called for people to be put outside of the camp, we're not to put anybody outside of the camp. If there's any justification for inviting somebody to leave, it would have to do with bringing works for salvation in the church, hence perverting the gospel. But as far as a sin nature and sin character, You've got to give people the opportunity to come and assemble. Because the only way they're going to get any help with it is from the Word of God. Sometimes it hurts. Why? The leather book, Consider the Cow. I guess if we're going to title it, let's call it Consider the Cow Message. It will be a moving experience. But sometimes you use this thing. And you use it in Rebuke Farm. And people get upset. But if you're a humble individual, you'll take the instructions. And my daughter knows that there was no hatred towards her whatsoever when I whipped her. Didn't appreciate her putting nails in my bed, but that's a different story. But she knows I didn't hate her, but I was upset. And you know, a pastor's role is equivalent to the head of household. And you've got to do those things to keep order sometimes, and sometimes you've got to do it to encourage individuals. Because folks, I mean, we talk about the message and we've got the message. All of that is true. But we ourselves have got to be able to function together for this thing to work and operate smoothly so we can get the message out. For instance, look in Ephesians. Turn right to Ephesians and we'll see what Paul talks about in Ephesians. Philippians. I heard no pages. I'm like, I lost them already? No pages turning and I'm only 15 minutes into this. No one's going to sleep on me that quick. Philippians chapter 1. Y'all okay out there? Okay. Oh, man. Oh, okay. That's a pig. That's not a snore. Oh, boy. Anyhow, I shouldn't ask questions to the crowd out there. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Now here Paul writing to these Philippians, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Then the gospel of Christ needs to be put out there. Talk about the Lord, not yourself. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And that is the actions that they're doing there. It's not romantic affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit. And that word stand fast carries the understanding of to stand firm. Don't be moved. And folks, our adversary, the devil, would have you to be moved from the gospel. Because he knows that what you have inside of you, the treasure in this earthen vessel, can save anybody in this world. And if he can get you moved from that, he's won the battle in your case. He can't get your soul, but he can get you moved from it. Then he says, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. That word striving together carries the understanding to contend together. To contend together. And it immediately reminds me of a race relay team. You got a 4x1200 race coming up. Four people involved in the race. They have practiced, worked, dieted, ran. They did everything to prepare for this race. And you can just imagine, ever so spaced out, you'd have another runner in the relay team. Can you imagine, after all the practicing, all the work that went into this, They're at the starting line. They've taken their stance. The gun goes off and the first leg takes off running. And he or she is running as hard as they can. They get to the first person to pass the baton and he or she rears it back to pass it and that individual's just standing there. And they're like, and so they run. They go to the next one. He gets to the next one and he goes, and they're just standing there. And runs to the next one. About that time, fresh legs are flying by them because the other team is passing the baton. And this individual can't hardly make it to the finish line because they are exhausted. They may have worked out. They may have dieted. They may have done everything necessary to win the race. But there was not a striving together in the race for them to win. Folks, let me tell you something. The people in our Grace churches are important because they're part of that relay team. And you've got to have them running on all cylinders. You've got to keep them encouraged in the faith. Keep them instructed in the truth of the Word of God. You know, I was watching a program the other day. Preacher Rod Parsley, anybody seen him before? He was up there and he was talking like, boy, he knew it all without even having the Word of God. And I mean, what do they have there? 2,000 people in his group sitting out there? And he's walking around with that microphone and got that hanky. Let me tell you, God is going to have a great pouring out in 06. The Spirit of God is going to work mightily on all you. You're all anointed of God. And these people are not like you. They're jumping up and clapping and running around. And I mean, sweat's pouring off of this guy. Well, you know what he is? He's like during a football game, he's the cheering section. Cheering them on. Got a problem with that? No. I do if it's not from the Word of God. When I got saved in 1980, I heard preachers preaching about the end is near. The rapture's near. Matter of fact, a man put out a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, Countdown to Armageddon. You know, when you study the Scripture, there will be a late great planet Earth, and there is a countdown to Armageddon, so I guess the titles were right. But the implication of it coming very soon, that was 26 years ago. But at the time, you listen to the preachers, oh, there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We're in a great revival. Turn on the news. Watch the news and see what's going on in our society. And is this the greatest that the Holy Ghost can do in our society? We were talking about music. When I got saved, back at that time, about 81, there was a couple of fellas going around, Peterson Brothers, going to these churches, putting on a show. They'd get up there and they had sheets of paper on rock and roll bands. They took bands, the Beatles, Fleetwood Mac, all of those rock, all of those bands of the late 70s, they go back to the 60s and the current early 80s era, they were taking all of those people and they were making, and in this song they said this. And this lead singer being interviewed said this, and it's all about witchcraft or ungodliness and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, bro, what do you expect the lost world to be saying? Glory be to God? I mean, think about it. They're lost. What are they going to say? So he has them all come down and pile their records up, rock and roll records, because we're going to take them out back and we're going to burn them. Say, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. They did it. You listen to the music today? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. Come on now. We're talking about yo in not a beep. You're not sure beep. What do you have to eat? Is it better today? I mean, we went through the revival, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and we burned our records, and this is what we get? Something that's censored? Something that out of 100 words, only about 15 can be broadcast over there. Paul said, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's working it out together, guys. You've got to have a spirit of compatibility in this thing. I think one of the things that hinders that is a contentious attitude. Strife. Quarrels. Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't let it be done contentiously. Steve wanted to borrow my notes. He said, leave your notes up there. I want to preach from them. I said, they come from the inner sanction of my mind. He said, uh-oh. So I thought, there's several individuals that's had some issues at our church, problems with others. Mark, I need to talk to you. Guys, isn't that the worst thing you can hear as far as a preacher? I need to talk to you. And it's issues. Now, I remember one in particular said, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And this is what they said. And I had enough and I gave them a piece of my mind. A piece of your mind? You mean that thing between your ears that's titled as vile and reprobate? Oh, joy, give me a slice. I can't wait to have a piece of your mind. It's probably less filling and low in calories too, isn't it? Give me a piece of my mind. I gave them a piece of my mind. If the peace of mind comes from the mind of Christ, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're giving an individual a piece of your mind based upon a bad, contentious attitude, it's not right. It's not right. And those type things tend to cause a situation where someone says, well, I thought this church thing was supposed to be exciting. But so-and-so gave me a piece of their mind. And now I'm sad, I'm depressed. I said, well, you shouldn't have told them what you told them. Well, they got me mad. Well, everybody gets mad. Well, they just got me mad, and so I did what I did. Well, then what did you want to talk to me about? If you're going to do what you're going to do, why do you want to talk to me? And this was probably a year ago, and they made no effort to reconcile the difference with the individual. Philippians 4. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord's at hand. Word moderation has to do with being gentle, mild about it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be gentle about it. Be mild about it. Don't be aggressive. mean-spirited. Don't cause contentions. Is your attitude one of a contender or one of contention? Do you really appreciate and are thankful for all the promises that are in Christ? You as a human being cannot go through the Scripture and see all that you have in Christ and be flatlined in your spirit about it. I mean, if you're sitting there and you know all the promises that are in Him, they're yea and amen, and you're like, yeah, okay. Something wrong. I mean, it's kind of like the lame man at the temple there in Acts. And John and, who was it? John and Peter are going to the temple and he's looking for some alms there. I mean, he's laid at the gate daily. He said, we don't have gold and silver, but we have something else you could use. Stand up. And that old boy jumped up. Yeah, well, what else you got for me? Yeah, that's good. No, that's not what he did. This old boy jumped around, ran around, screamed, hollered, jumped up on Peter, jumped up on that John. You couldn't have contained this guy. And what we have in Christ is greater than he had in his body. And you're going to tell me that that promise in Christ can't affect you? I was saying earlier that people that don't know me in my past may conclude that, well, Mark, you know, there are sins that you commit. You know, if you were really a preacher, your attitude or your character would change. Well, let me take you back and not go into specifics. If you knew me in my teens, before I was saved, and know me now, being saved, you'd see a change. It's only been 20 years difference. Now, there's a gap there that you don't see the past. You see me now. And something done happened with preachers today. Preachers have poised themselves to be over and above the congregation. And they've given an image of what a preacher should look like, act like, talk like, live like, breathe like, and everything else. And most of those guys, if Moses, David, Elijah, Peter, Paul, or the Lord walked into their church, they wouldn't even recognize them. I had a situation where I was, it's kind of long to explain, so I'm just going to really cut it short. An individual was looking at a product, and he went to the website, and he had emailed me back afterwards. He said, well, when I looked at the website and I saw the picture of the president and his wife of the company, he said, they looked like preachers. He looked like a preacher. And I checked up on him and found out he was a preacher. What do you mean look like a preacher? Can you imagine Paul walking in here looking like a preacher? It looked more like, not to put him down, because I appreciate it, more like a street bum. From the beatings and everything else the Apostle Paul took. What do you mean look like a preacher? Striving together. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. Slow to anger. Slow to wrath. These things are so necessary within our own lives for the betterment of the local grace church. Folks, this is big because it's saying put yourself aside And a lot of times we don't want to put ourselves aside. We want to lift ourselves up. That's human nature. That's human nature. It's all about a mindset. It's about the mind. Not giving someone a piece of your mind. It's about the mindset that we get from Jesus Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Paul, addressing these Corinthians, said, "I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, because you weren't able to bear the meat." You see, folks, a lot of people's problems is they get saved, but they don't grow up. They stay as children. At our church, we basically built what we could afford for the time to get out of the apartments and the offices that we had been in for so long. We wanted to get our land and get a building going, so we built a building that was conducive for the time and the money that we had. And it would be like this would be the assembly room, and there's an opening where those doors are. There's a little hallway, and back there, there are two rooms. There's a nursery and a children's church. Well, sometimes we have what would be a bunch of kids in the nursery? A tribe? A flock? Yeah. Would be in there. And we'll have the nursery worker back there, and as I'm preaching, you'd hear one just, and everybody kind of perks up, and I go, don't worry about it. Just ain't nothing going on. Just kids, you know. So afterwards, I'll ask whoever kept it. I said, "What happened back there?" One of the kids had a toy, and one of the other kids walked over there and just grabbed it out of their hands and took it, and that kid just, and the irony of it all is, we have a chest in there chock-a-block full of toys. But he had to have that one in the hands. And but that's kids. That's how they are. This is mine. This is all mine. Else I'll cry. Don't touch it. I'm addressing the kids here today, so you adults. I think someone can relate to this thing. But that's how they are. Can you imagine the frustration that Paul had with these Corinthians? He's basically saying, you want to talk about someone direct? You're a bunch of babies. There's contention and division among them, he says. That's an immature, childish reaction when you have contention. My question is, are you contentious Are you a contender? Is there division, strife, quarrel, or is there striving together for the faith of the gospel? Are you contending? And it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Folks, there's no doubt. And I almost hate to say it because it's kind of like if you say it too often, people get so used to it and so complacent about it that it's not that they don't believe it. They develop, oh, I don't want to hear that again. But we have the greatest message in the world today. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for all of our sins. We all come to the Father. All come to the Father through one avenue, and that's Jesus Christ. See, a preacher today, you want to know what a preacher should look like, talk like, act like, walk like, sound like? You base it upon what he's saying. You base it upon his message. Because the message is what is most important in people's lives. It's the only thing that matters. You say, you're saying about the character of a preacher shouldn't matter? Well, it matters. But if your focus and judgment on him, whether he's a good preacher, is based upon his character, you're wrong. Because there have been some preachers that have impressed millions of people in this country based upon their character, and they wind up in jail. Not like Paul, like criminals. Let your moderation be made known. Be gentle about it. God didn't impute our trespasses unto us, but forgave us. Well, if he's dealt with us gently, we should deal with other saints the same way. Gently. That's it. Okay.